Welcome to the Love Reaching Community's Sermon of the Week. For more information pertaining to the life of the church, please visit our website at lrcchurch.co.za.
Today, the 31st of May, if you go and Google Pentecost 2020, it'll tell you 31st May. Now, traditionalists, the Jewish scholars will tell you that it's actually tomorrow. But we choose to celebrate it on the Sunday, maybe just because it's convenient for us and it lines up with our services. But I'm going to talk to us about Pentecost. Forgive me if I'm a little bit emotional or vulnerable, but it's one of those messages for me. I want to start off by saying, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Let's pay attention to what God wants to say this morning. Even through us donkeys. But last year, Marlies and I were invited to a relating church to go and do Pentecost services. Now, a little bit of history on this. Mela and I both come out of a Pentecostal charismatic background. Churches where Pentecost services last for hours and it's celebrated over weekends and weeks, as in Pentecostal conferences. Now, as a young child, not understanding the dynamics of what's happening, you are overwhelmed and sometimes even scarred by the wildness of what happens at these conferences. I remember growing up as a child, falling asleep under chairs when it was still day, and waking up when it was dark and the service was still carrying on. Now, as a child, that's not always pleasant, and that's part of our background. But at these things, there were indiscernible babbling and high-pitched, hysterical praying in tongues. There were lower voices, but all speaking in what I would deem an indiscernible babbling. That's our background. So what preceded us from going to the Pentecostal services at this relating church was this. This was some of our conversation. Is that what they're asking us to do? Is that what they're asking us to bring? Because neither of us knew that we could, and to be quite honest, knew if we wanted to. God took us on a journey from that state, and he took us into a much more, relevant, significant, and possibly correct understanding of what Pentecost was about. So we didn't know what they expected of us. That was part of our conversation preceding us going to minister at this church. The other conversation that we found ourselves having was, are we even equipped to go and minister on something that would be pretty much linked with the infilling of the person of the Holy Spirit in His church? Do we have it? Do we know how to bring it? Those were some of the conversations that we had, just sitting and talking and planning. We ended up going with our kids, and it was a glorious moment of us as a family ministering. We ended up sharing on what happens when you allow Holy Spirit to fill you with His person, with His presence. We ended up talking and seeing emotional healing, physical healing. We saw more of Holy Spirit being made manifest in the people that allowed Him to do that. And it was just a sweet time of ministry for us as a family. Driving away from that, I found myself thinking, am I averse to talking at Pentecost about Holy Spirit because I'm just willfully rebellious against the norm? Or am I really sincerely seeking God's best for the church? My short answer is a bit of both. I do find myself steering away from what was taught to me as a youngster, almost as a law forced on me, and saying, when it comes to Pentecost, you have to be filled by the Holy Spirit, fall over, and speak in a high-pitched babbling. I do rebel or kick against that, because that is so limited. Holy Spirit is so much more than that. And the manifestation of the person of Holy Spirit in me as a person has a broader outworking than that. I have since then gone and researched Pentecost a little bit more. Penta meaning 5, 50, anything to do with 5 in mathematics, and all the mathematicians out there are going, yeah, he's mentioning us. Yes, I'm mentioning you guys. You are amazing. And I love like people like Shantae and Lainey, how they find God in maths. I think we need to bring that into church again, that people can see he is in everything, before everything, and because him everything is. But it means that it's 50 days after Passover. That is why if you go and count it according to the Jewish calendar, it should be celebrated tomorrow and not on Sunday. But be that as it may. Historically, what is Pentecost about? What happened? We go and we look at Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. And it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I want to tackle this in first looking at the historical overview of Pentecost. Why was it called Pentecost, and what was it actually? Why did they come together? Good questions, I want to say, for you that thought about that. Why were they even together? A lot of the old traditional teaching and our church circles that we came out of was very much, it was that they were anticipating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in and among them. But unfortunately, when you look at historically why they came together, that is stretching it a little bit. I phoned a friend to find out how to pronounce it historically. The celebration is called the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Harvest. It was 7 weeks of 7 days, 49 days, after Passover, the celebration of Passover. It coincided with the start of the change from harvesting wheat to going into barley, traditionally how they did it. I had to phone a friend, like I said, to get the correct pronunciation, and let's hope I do the Jewish scholars justice, because he said to me, it's Shavuot, Shavuot. That's what it was called. Now we find the prescription of how it should be done in Deuteronomy 16:9-12, where it says, you shall count 7 weeks. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time the sickle is first put to the standing grain, when they harvest the wheat. Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand. Something that you give to honor God, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, the Levite who is with you in your towns, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are among you, at a place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there. Now we know since then we are the church. We are the place where God dwells. And that is the significance of Pentecost recorded in Acts 2. You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. It was a coming together. Some of the writings in Leviticus records that you shall have a convocation, a mass gathering to celebrate a joyous moment of coming together 49 days after you started harvesting, 50 days after Pentecost, after Passover. You see, the Jews gathered together And this is where we find them in Acts 2. They are gathering together to celebrate the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Harvest. They come together in their tradition. Something that started out as law became tradition and would become a family event where people would come together and friends would come together and you would celebrate the goodness of God. That you once were a slave, but He redeemed you and He led you out of slavery into freedom. They came together to remember the goodness of God, and they came together to remember that they are no longer slaves. They are now free. And that's where we find our congregation, our convocation, our gathering of people sitting together celebrating exactly this on the day of Pentecost. The intention was to come together and celebrate and have a good time. Remember friends, see family that you haven't seen. Come together. That is what the intention was. And how significant that God chooses when we come together with family and friends in a celebration of His goodness to come and pour out Himself and manifest the very person of Holy Spirit, a part of, fullness of the Trinity, among human beings. How beautiful is that? Take a moment and remember that. Just where you are, remind yourself how good it is that God has blessed us with friends and family to journey together this path that He marked out for us. The other significance of history, the historical part of what happened is it was 49 days after they left Egypt, after the Passover, that God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And that is the other thing that historically is celebrated and remembered. That you come together to say, on this day, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave us the law. He spoke to a man, a person on a mountain, and said, by this you will be marked as my people. When you observe this, when you live according to this, people shall know that you are my people, marked by Him. How He likes things done. How He likes to speak and be heard. The historical nature of God speaking to one person. And here we find the gathering of His people. He comes and He speaks through them to others. Historically, it's a beautiful moment of God saying, remember when I spoke to my servant Moses on behalf of you, when my servant Moses pleaded on your behalf and I heard him. Remember this. I want to say Pentecost, above everything else, should be first and foremost us remembering God, remembering His goodness, celebrating Him together, friends and family. People that are called by His name. It is a significant day, and I have to repent from thinking it isn't. It is. It is something we should remember and we should remind our kids of. Remember the day of the Lord. Remember it. So yes, we're a few days of proper Pentecost, a few days later, but let us not forget and miss a moment to come together and remember the goodness of God. The second thing that I felt on Pentecost to share with us as a people is there used to be an old dispensation and then there was a new dispensation. Just like we've experienced here in South Africa, the old apartheid dispensation, and then a new one came. Democracy and all of us dwelling together in harmony. There was an old dispensation that was ruled and marked by the law of Moses from God, given via one man to His people that would mark him. And then there was a new dispensation. Now all of us will say yes and recent talk is that it is the dispensation of grace. But I love how Duan pointed out that there has always been grace, evidence of the grace of God, the very nature of His kindness and compassion right through the Old Testament. You see, there was an old dispensation that was known by one person going and hearing on behalf of another people, one person interpreting the voice of God on behalf of a nation. When God tore the veil, when Jesus Christ was sacrificed as the once of sacrificial lamb for you and I, He tore the veil and a new dispensation entered. And we all now have access to hear the voice of God for ourselves. Pentecost marks that. You just look at the verse that says, "And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." That word tongues is so restrictive, and it became so restrictive in its interpretation and outworking in the church circles that it's now tongues that shouldn't be discerned. But I'm telling you, when it says that the correct translation is languages. When I pray in Afrikaans, which is my language I grew up with, it is a form of a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I want to say yes. Speak in your own language, your native tongue. Praise God. Having the freedom to express in whatever language you have is a sign of the Holy Spirit's person manifesting. I love how Jesus speaks to His disciples. In John 14, it says, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you." A mark of the Holy Spirit manifesting its presence in us and among us is that we will remember the goodness of God. And what happens when we remember, the outworking and the expression of that is praising Him for His goodness. He carries on in verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." When we experience and we access the peace of God, it is Holy Spirit's presence, the new dispensation. We hear His assurances spoken to us saying, "My peace with you. Calm down, be at rest. I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews, spoken to us. A new dispensation where we don't have to wait upon somebody else hearing from God, interpreting for us and bringing to us. We have access to the presence of God and we can hear His voice. In John 15, 26, 27, it says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." What happens when we are together, family and friends, coming together to celebrate the goodness of God? Another sign of Holy Spirit with us in this new dispensation is that we can speak about who Jesus Christ is. The old dispensation was always marked by somebody having to tell you about who God is. Can you remember the goodness of God? Now the new dispensation for us is we can say, "I remember the goodness of God. I remember when He saved me. I remember when He took me from my life of slavery and translated me into His glorious freedom, His purposes for my will and will for my life." The new dispensation. Not one person on behalf of us hearing, one person that went and tore the dividing thing and made the presence of God accessible to you and to me. The new dispensation. I found structure in thinking about Pentecost again. We're thinking the circumstances that preceded this. They were people that had just lost their Savior. They had just lost the one that they thought would be the Messiah that would come and reestablish the throne of David. He died. Circumstances that preceded this is He rose again. All of a sudden, there was celebration because a few days later, he was resurrected, standing in their presence in a glorious way, saying, don't touch me. I haven't yet been And this is circumstances that preceded it. They then saw him being taken up in glory, the ascension of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, the circumstances that preceded this, angels are standing in their presence saying, don't mourn. This man that went away from you, this Jesus, this Godhead that went away from you, he's going to come again. Circumstances that preceded it, they now start to call themselves Christians. They devote themselves to the teachings of Jesus being brought to them by the apostles. They see how uneducated men are now being able to interpret on what they're not supposed to, far beyond the educated level and skill. And circumstances that preceding it, they're seeing how the needs are being met of those around them. Food being given, money being shared, homes being opened. I see circumstances in this text where they're sitting together and they're celebrating the goodness of God. And I'm sure they mention how this Jesus came and protected the ones that were not worthy of protection, that was supposed to be stoned, and how they talk about that, and how they talk about Lazarus possibly being raised from the dead. And they think of the goodness of that, and they remember how God saved them and how Jesus came and took them out of their circumstances and said, come. They're now together as a family and friends. And in the past, they were separated by classes and righteousness and levels of righteousness. And that you can't talk about God because you're not a Pharisee and you're not from the Levitical line and you're not from the line of this and of that and the other. But they're sitting together, friends and family, and they're talking about the goodness of God. Circumstances. In the past, circumstances separated them. And now, under Jesus, the circumstances unite them. And what happens is the Godhead decides, let's change the circumstances even more. Let's not stay to the God, the Trinity, Yahweh, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, speaking to a person on their behalf, having to go and give it. And now God came and dwelled among us, Jesus Christ, and he became the spokesperson on behalf of the Godhead, no longer requiring interpretation. And now let's go one further and let's change the circumstances anymore. Let's open it up even more. Let my people hear my voice. Let my people understand my voice. Let my people speak my voice to them and to others, and let the good news of Jesus Christ be taken in every language, to every tribe, to every nation. Circumstances change. And on the day when Holy Spirit, the person of Holy Spirit, manifests itself among the people, everybody starts to understand the goodness of God in their own language. Take a moment, right where you are. Consider how God spoke to you in your own language. I know I've said this before, but he spoke to me through an Afrikaans song, Die Hout Kruis, in a language that I would not be able to say, did I hear correctly? Because it was my very own language growing up. He speaks to us in our very own language. I love how a person in our congregation always says to me, I come from this in my past, and God uses it to speak to me because he knows that will make sense to me when he speaks to me through that imagery, through those words. The redemptive nature of God coming to pursue you and me. Father, we thank you that you speak to us individually. that you are so intimately interested in us. And this is what happens on the day of Pentecost. 49 days, the 50th day after Passover. They're sitting and they're wanting to celebrate the goodness of the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Harvest. But God says, I'm not just going to give you that celebration and that point of remembering me. I'm going to make it an even more significant thing that you can celebrate for millennia. My very presence among you, my goodness, translated into your language, making sense to you. Father, we thank you for this. Holy Spirit, thank you for this. Jesus Christ, thank you for this. You see, God's aim was always to be an intimate God to his people. He wants to be your intimate God, your personal God. And what the old dispensation ended up becoming was religiosity, putting a human intercessor in between us and God's presence. God says, no longer. You don't need somebody. I am your God and you are my people. I look at Pentecost and how it's recorded here in Acts 2. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and he comes and he Holy Spirit brings an awakening to our senses. Not only can we hear the rushing wind, but we can feel the movement of the wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. It brings in the presence. It brings in movement of God. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in tongues. The second thing, undivided tongues as a fire appeared to them. Tongues of fire. Fire that burns away the rubbish and refines, but fire that ignites and starts a process. And it rested on each of them. You think about how the face of Moses shone with the glory of God. One person. No longer, all of us, new dispensation, all of us. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. One other time do we see the presence of God manifesting itself in a similar way. There was movement, there was shaking, there was wind, there was fire. We find ourselves in the recordings of the kings of Israel and Judah. The first book of Kings, chapter 19, verse 11 to 18. And he said, that is God speaking to the prophet Elijah. Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. Bring yourself out and come and stand before God. Make the significant change in your position and reposition yourself to say, God, I want to be found in your very presence. Now, God could have manifested himself right there in front of Elijah because he's all omnipresent. We know this. But sometimes we have to take ourselves out of the situation and the position where we are into another one just to show to God that we are committed and we can hear your voice and we will obey what you say. And this is what the prophet Elijah does. And behold, the Lord passed by. just like the Lord passed by Moses. But what happens this time? It says, and a great and strong wind tore the mountain and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Similar to what happens on the day of Pentecost. A wind comes and it is noticeable and discernible, and its presence is felt in this recording. It is felt where it breaks the mountains. Holy Spirit's presence comes and it breaks the mountains. It is so powerful. It will shatter things before us that should not be shattered. It will break down those things that divide us from Him, that keep us from Him. The obstacles in our way can be shaken and can be broken by the presence of Holy Spirit, the wind of His Spirit. And after the wind, an earthquake came. There was movement. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. I put myself in Elijah's shoes, in where he is, and I think, my goodness. I go out and I'm talking to God. I'm used to this. And He says to me, come out. And look, I've seen many things as Elijah. But this, He comes and where I position myself, right in front of me, the wind comes and it breaks the mountain. The next thing, there's an earthquake, discernible shaking, and I could see possibly cracks forming. And then after that, a fire just appears. Now, I mean, for Elijah, that shouldn't be foreign. But all of that, just in close procession, the wind, the earthquake, the fire. Surely this is what I have seen, the presence of God. So it can't be that it's not the presence of God that isn't there when it says, but the Lord was not in it. It's got to be another interpretation. God is there. Of course He is. He's saying, you're standing in front of me and I'm shaking you. I'm causing the wind to blow and break things. I'm causing the earth to rattle, and I'm causing fire to just appear. Surely that is the hand of God. It can't be anything else. But the Lord was not in it. You see, I think what happens here, it is the voice of God that Elijah was so keen to find and was so used to hearing, that very voice, the discernible utterances of God, that brings life. When He spoke, there's always been life. And Elijah is saying, I can see Him, but I can't hear Him. I can feel Him, but I can't hear Him. I'm in awe, but I can't hear Him. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And all the manifestations of the power and the might and the hand of God in this passage is overshadowed by Elijah finding the low whisper of his God. You see, just like God drew Elijah into His presence for one reason, so that he could hear the whisper, the intimate speaking, the tender voice of His intimate, personal God. And God goes on and He says, go and anoint this person, go and anoint this person, go and warn this person, go and warn that person. And then what happens is, when My people, those that have remained with Me, the ones that have never bowed their knees to Baal or has ever kissed a foreign god, those people I will show My favor to. The whisper of God. And suddenly there came from heaven the sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. A mighty rushing wind, manifestation of the power of God. And divided tongues of fire came upon them, just appearing out of nowhere. Doesn't it sound familiar? We've seen this before. And we see how God's manifestation, you should seek through His manifestations to get to the intimate relationship where you hear His voice in such a close proximity to Him that you have to strain yourself to hear the low whisper. And what happens is they were all filled with the very person of Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in discernible languages the goodness of God, the nature of God, the person of Jesus Christ, what He came to do. You see, God is always after us, that we can hear His voice, to speak His voice, to speak His truth over ourselves, to others. And just like in the historical account of Elijah going through the manifestations of the power of God to get to the intimate voice of a Savior, God takes the people on the day of Pentecost through His powerful manifestations to bring them to a point where they can hear Him so clear that what pours out of them is testimonies of His goodness, praise of who He is, gratitude of what He has done. Pentecost is not just about us being filled with Holy Spirit to the point where we speak in indiscernible or discernible languages. It is not just a significant day because we possibly succumb to the power of God and become weak in our flesh and our humanity and fall to the ground to a position where we can adequately say, God, You are worthy. It's much, much more than that. The manifestations of the power of God, such as was felt on the day of Pentecost, is there to get us to pursue Him in intimate relationship where we can hear His low personal whispers. Because you see, when you have heard it, you will not bow your knee to a foreign God. And when you have felt His breath on your cheek as He whispers into your nature, I love you, you are mine, I've ransomed you, I've redeemed you, I have chosen you, I have restored you, you are my son, I am proud of you, I have called you to a purpose, I have a will and a destiny for your life. You will not waste your kisses and your affection and your love on anyone else. And He will show favor and kindness of you. You see, Pentecost for us should be a time of remembering His undeserved favor poured over us and through us. I want to say, can we be filled on this Pentecost with more than just a manifestation that we have been taught is the fullness of God, God's person of Holy Spirit in us? May we be filled with the affirmations of heaven so that we can go and spill it out on those that are needing it around us. And may we become His love manifest here because we are so full of the whispers of God, so full of the language of God. You see, when we are full of that, we can't but tell people He loves you. He calls you. He pursues you. And then love reaching communities is easy. What is Pentecost for us? It is us hearing the voice of our Father saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I will love you for all eternity. Please come, hear my voice, hear my whisper, and let's journey your life to my glory and for your good. Same message, but through profound manifestations of his goodness. Give yourself on this day in a renewed way to the hand of God. Trust yourself in a new way. Entrust yourself to the heart of the Father. Give yourself to Holy Spirit manifesting its power around you, but more than that, his person in you. And give the glory to the Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we will be a people that is not just marked by the charismatic outworkings, but that is marked by the heart of the one who loved us and pursued us, who manifests his power in us, through us, for us. May we be a people, Father, that will bow the knee only before you and no one else. May we be a people that save our kisses for you and your presence only, God. I pray in this day that you will help us to bow the knee afresh and anew to you, that you will help us and empower us to say no to that which wants to distract and draw us away from who you are. I pray, God, that we will be a people that won't say no to Holy Spirit manifesting in us, whether it be through the speaking of a new language, the understanding of a new facet of you that we can praise you, the manifestation of us hearing your voice in us, understanding the imagery and the pictures that you give us, a people that experience the love of telling others in a language and a way that they understand it. Not just through words, but through acts, your hands and your feet going to people and saying, this is the one who calls you beloved. May we be that, Lord. Fill us anew, fill us afresh, Holy Spirit. Bring us to our knees, bring us to a position where we bow before you and worship you in reverence and in awe. A people that succumb to your power and to your glory. Raptured in your presence, God. A people that know that when we come together as family and friends, we should be filled with awe and reverence because we should tell one another of the goodness of God. May we be a people that say yes to the manifestation of your power around us and not cower and run from it, but like Elijah, run towards it and position ourselves in the very midst of it where we can say, Lord, more, more, more. We want to hear you more, more, more. We want to see you more, more, more. Give us an insatiable desire for your presence, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So we've come to the end of our service. We trust that you guys have enjoyed it and that God has pinpointed and highlighted specific things for you. If you would like one of us to stand in prayer with you, please, there will be a number that will be displayed on the screen. Send us a WhatsApp and we'll gladly partner with you and trust God with you. So until next week when we meet together, 50 in this congregation, God bless you and have a wonderful week.
Welcome to the Love Reaching Community's Sermon of the Week. For more information pertaining to the life of the church, please visit our website at lrcchurch.co.za.